Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, the sudden death of United States Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia on Saturday quickly became part of the presidential campaign. Republicans campaigning for the party's presidential nomination said President Barack Obama, a Democrat, should not try to replace Scalia before he leaves office in January. They said he is too close to the end of his presidency. Republican frontrunner Donald Trump even called on Republican Senate leaders to block the nomination. But Democrats said it is the duty of the president to name new justices, no matter how soon his or her presidency is to end. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton told supporters the president has a responsibility to nominate a new justice, and the Senate has a responsibility to vote. Justices serve on the Supreme Court until they leave voluntarily or die. Some of them serve for many years after the president who named them leaves office. Obama said Saturday that he would seek Senate approval for a new justice before he leaves office. I plan to fulfill my constitutional responsibilities to nominate a successor in due time, he said. Republican Mitch McConnell is the Senate Majority Leader. He said the president should not nominate a new justice. The U.S. Constitution gives the Senate the power to approve a presidential nominee for the Supreme Court. Some political experts have said if the president were a Republican with little time left in office, Democrats would be calling for him or her not to name a new justice. And they would be calling on the Senate not to vote on the nominee. In other words, the experts believe that a politician's positions change depending on whether they believe it is good for their political party. If the Senate does not confirm a new justice before Obama leaves office, the seat will be empty for almost a year. It is unusual for a seat on the court to be empty for so long. In the past 100 years, 10 justices have died while they were on the court. They were replaced within about 3 months on average. Many important cases on the court are decided by a vote of 5-4. Scalia was often on the winning side of cases that conservatives supported. But now, without his vote, conservatives cannot win many of their cases because there are 4 liberals on the court. A Supreme Court that has 8 members can still decide some cases if more than 4 justices agree. Without a 5th vote, many important cases cannot be decided. This year, the court was to consider many difficult issues, including abortion, immigration, and religious freedom.
The third Monday of February is known as President's Day in the United States. For almost 100 years, America officially honored the birthday of its first president, George Washington, on February 22nd. That is his birthday. That date was a national holiday until 1968. That year, the U.S. Congress passed a measure known as the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. The measure meant that some public holidays would always fall on a Monday. Today, the U.S. honors its first president on the third Monday in February, and not on Washington's actual birthday. The holiday is also now commonly called President's Day. Many say it also honors Abraham Lincoln's birthday. The nation's 16th president was born on February 12th. The Uniform Monday Holiday Act gives workers a 3-day weekend. It also gives shops and marketers a chance to have special President's Day sales. The U.S. federal government, however, still recognizes the holiday as Washington's birthday.
The year 2016 is a big year in America. The presidential elections take place this November. As the country focuses on electing a new president, let us take a look at some presidential facts and firsts. Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State, is running to become the first woman president of the country. If elected, she would also be the first lady to become president in history. Her husband, Bill Clinton, was America's 42nd president. Not to be outdone, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is trying to become the first Jewish president of the U.S. If elected, Sanders would also be the first self-declared socialist to become president in a strongly capitalist country. This year, Jeb Bush is trying to become the third member of his family to win the presidency. His father, George Herbert Walker Bush, was the 41st president, and his brother, George W. Bush, was the 43rd. But the Bushes were not the first father-son presidents. That title belongs to the Adams family. John Quincy Adams, the 6th president, was the first son of a president to become president. John Adams, his father, was the nation's first vice president. He went on to become America's 2nd president. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the 32nd president, followed his cousin, Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president, to the White House.
In an election year when voters are unhappy with the unequal distribution of wealth, businessman Donald Trump is looking to become the first billionaire to win the White House. That would make him the richest president ever. Some experts say that John F. Kennedy, the 35th president, currently holds the title of richest person to serve as president. Kennedy was also the youngest person to be elected president, as well as the youngest president to die in office. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. If Donald Trump does win the Republican nomination, Texas Senator Ted Cruz will not become the first foreign-born president. Cruz, a Republican presidential candidate, was born in Canada to a U.S. citizen.
The U.S. Constitution requires that presidents be natural-born citizens. But the meaning of natural-born citizen is not exactly clear. People read the rule in different ways. The first natural-born president of the U.S. was not George Washington or John Adams. It was Martin Van Buren, the 8th president. He was born in 1782, 6 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. All seven presidents before Van Buren and William Henry Harrison, the ninth president, were not natural-born citizens. They were born before 1776, when the American states were still colonies. William Henry Harrison himself does have one presidential first. He was the first president to die in office. Harrison was president for only 32 days, the shortest time of any president. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the 32nd president, served the longest time of any president. He held office for 4,422 days. After Roosevelt's death, the 22nd Amendment was passed. It limited a person to 2 4-year terms as president. That law prevents Barack Obama, the 44th president, from running for another term. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
Thousands of migrants from places like Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan entered Europe in 2015. Many of these people have trouble finding their place among new or different cultures. Pete Musto and Dan Friedel report on some common situations visitors to the United States face and how to deal with them.
As refugees and migrants flood Europe, Finland is teaching its new arrivals about appropriate behavior. Over 1 million migrants arrived in Europe in 2015. Most were fleeing struggling economies and war in places like Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and East Africa.
Many of these people arrive in new countries like Germany, Sweden, or Finland, and expect life to become easier almost immediately, a recent news story by the BBC explained. After all, they just traveled months by foot and by boat just to get to a new country and start fresh.
But when they arrive, the migrants face a world that can be confusing in many ways. Melissa Fogg is the program manager for the Philadelphia Refugee Mental Health Collaborative, or PRMHC. The PRMHC is an organization that helps refugees entering the U.S. build their lives in their new country. The PRMHC teaches the refugees skills and helps them adjust to living in a different environment.
Fogg told VOA that weather, language, and safety issues are only some of the things that can cause problems.
A lot of immigrants and refugees, when they come, they have a very idealized version of the United States from movies, magazines, the media, and a lot of that is just not true. Generally, our country is very welcoming and very accepting of immigrants, but it can be a tough environment to come into with a lot of barriers.
What seems normal in one country might be illegal in another country. For example, men and women have equal rights under the law in Finland and the U.S.
One male student from Mali told the BBC, "It's quite amazing. In my country, a woman should not go out without her husband or brother. There are laws about gender equality in many countries. These laws can be hard for new arrivals to understand. But that is not the only confusing thing about being in a different country.
Some laws and rules are written down. You can learn about them before you arrive. But there are lots of unwritten rules, too. Unwritten rules are behaviors that no one talks about, but that most people understand. People in a host country might think their behavior is normal, while newcomers might find it offensive or inappropriate.
Fogg said that these differences can make becoming part of a new culture seem impossible.
When people come to a new country, at first they're very excited. Shortly after that, there is reality that sets in. America is not a perfect country.
But after some time, and a lot of work, most new arrivals begin to feel like they belong, Fogg said.
Also, it is important to know that not all differences are major. Often, there can be small differences between places that share a border and a language. A person from Canada might find people in the United States are less polite. Likewise, Americans might find Canadians too reserved.
Fogg and VOA worked together to create a list of 5 important issues any new arrival to the U.S. should know about.
Be on time. In some cultures, time is not a big issue. If you tell your friend to meet you at 2 p.m. and you arrive at 2:45 p.m., there is no problem. In the U.S., people feel that being on time is a sign of respect. If you are late by more than a few minutes, people will think you do not care. They will feel you are wasting their time. They will take your lateness as an insult. Being on time is even more important in a professional or formal situation, such as a job interview or when you plan to see a doctor.
Be sure you always tip. In many countries, after you eat at a restaurant, you only pay the amount shown on the bill. But in the U.S., people who work in restaurants and bars often earn a low hourly wage, so they try to provide excellent service, hoping the customer will give them a tip, meaning a little extra. Tips are extra money you pay above the cost of a meal. People in the U.S. tip between 15% and 20% of the bill. You also give tips to taxi drivers, hotel employees, and the people who cut your hair.
Be careful what you say. Any place you go, there will be some things that are appropriate to talk about and some things that are not. Would you talk about how good you feel with a person who is very sick? Probably not. In addition, many people in the U.S. can feel strongly about some topics that people in other cultures have no problem discussing. Assuming that people have the same beliefs as you is a bad idea. In the past decade, people in the U.S. have become more open about discussing strong political and religious views. But it is still best to listen to people share their opinions first and then decide about sharing your own. Also, there are several topics you should avoid asking questions about. How much money a person makes, and if they are married. But if a person offers this information, then there is no problem.
Be aware of personal space. Physical contact is the best way to show someone they are your friend or loved one in some cultures. Other cultures feel that showing affection in public is highly inappropriate. People in the U.S. fall somewhere in the middle on this issue. Two people usually do not kiss when saying hello, unless they are family members or very close friends. Shaking hands is the most common thing to do when meeting someone. Also, people in the U.S. dislike it when strangers stand very near to them.
Be polite for the situation. People in the U.S. define being polite in very special ways. For example, waiting in line involves a strong set of rules in this country. You must wait until the people in front of you have done what they are waiting to do. When going through a door, the person behind you expects you to hold the door for them. Also, it is common for people you do not know to say some form of hello to you when passing you. but this does not always mean they are inviting you to stop and talk for a long time. Many times, the person is just being friendly. If you don't say hello back to them, they may think you are being unfriendly. You should examine the situation and think about what you want to do next.
I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Pete Musto.
New York City may be the most popular place to visit in the United States, but the country has many small towns that are worth exploring too. Ashley Thompson and Katie Weaver return to tell us about some of these destinations on the rise.
Here are the 2016 Destinations on the Rise, chosen by the travel website TripAdvisor. The expression on the rise means that something is becoming better and more popular. The list includes the 10 destinations that saw the largest increase in positive TripAdvisor traveler reviews in the past year. Most of the cities on the list are small, with less than 20,000 people. Four of the destinations, including the number one pick, are next to some of America's most famous national parks.
Number one on the list is Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Gatlinburg, Tennessee is best known as the gateway to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, America's most visited national park. Gatlinburg offers hiking, fishing, and horseback riding in all seasons. Visitors can ride up to the top of the 100-meter Gatlinburg Space Needle for views of the Smoky Mountains. The area's scenery attracts painters, photographers, and other artists.
Number two on the list is Orange Beach, Alabama. Orange Beach sits along the Gulf of Mexico. It is a popular place for travelers looking for rest and calm on the white sand beaches. Orange Beach serves up excellent Gulf Coast seafood, like fried oysters and seafood gumbo. It is known as a great location for deep-sea fishing.
Just 2 hours east of Orange Beach is Destin, Florida, the third pick on the list. The beach town calls itself the world's luckiest fishing village. It is home to several kilometers of white sand beaches along Florida's Gulf Coast. The town of 12,000 people welcomes more than 4 million visitors a year. Destin even holds a yearly fishing rodeo.
Number four is South Lake Tahoe, California. Lake Tahoe is the largest alpine lake in North America. Tahoe is along the California-Nevada border. The area offers outdoor adventures and beautiful views. One way to enjoy the mountains and lake view is on the 5-kilometer ride up in the Heavenly Mountain Gondola. In the winter, the gondola takes you up to Tahoe's famous ski areas. In summer, the same area offers hiking opportunities.
Next on the list is number five, Jackson, Wyoming. Jackson is in the valley of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and just 6 kilometers from Grand Teton National Park. Like Tahoe, People come to Jackson Hole in the winter to ski. The spring and summer offer hiking and plenty of chances to see wildflowers and wildlife, from elk to bison to black bears. The Grand Teton Music Festival brings classical music to the mountains every summer. Summer visitors can also go to a rodeo to experience the Old West.
Our sixth destination is Estes Park, Colorado. Estes Park sits 2,300 meters above sea level in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. The area is a paradise for nature lovers. Estes Park's Main Street is lined with art galleries and shops. The city is the gateway to the Rocky Mountain National Park, which provides visitors with scenic drives, rock climbing, and world-class hiking.
Number 7 is Anchorage, Alaska. Anchorage is Alaska's biggest city. It is located near several of the state's 8 national parks, including the Kenai Fjords National Park, known for its glaciers and wildlife. Anchorage marks the start of the famous Iditarod dog sled race, which takes place every year in March. Anchorage is also home to the Alaska Native Heritage Center, where visitors can learn about Alaska's native people.
Number 8 is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh is known as the Steel City. It is home to more than 400 bridges and 300 steel-related businesses. Pittsburgh is also often called America's best sports city because of its many professional sports teams. The city has 90 neighborhoods, which represent the diverse history of Pittsburgh. In 2004, the Pittsburgh neighborhood of Central Northside started providing international writers in exile a place to live through a program called the City of Asylum.
Portland, Maine is number 9 on the list. Portland is on southern Maine's rocky coast. Portland's city motto is, "Yes, life's good here." The city is famous for its food, art, and nature. Visitors come to eat Maine lobster at one of Portland's downtown restaurants. Nearby are many beaches, walking trails, and places to go boating or fishing.
Our 10th and final destination on the rise is Kailua Kona, Hawaii. The Big Island of Hawaii has 8 of the world's 13 climate zones. The historic fishing village of Kailua Kona is on the western dry side of the Big Island. The area grows some of the most prized coffee beans in the world, Kona coffee. From Kailua Kona, visitors can explore the Mauna Kea volcano. The 4,200 meter top is home to the world's largest observatory for astronomy. The research center has high-powered telescopes that visitors can use to explore the night sky. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.